And the men were now, they, see, he grew corn. And he would shuck corn, but he'd both put me in my knees sometimes doing that. He'd work, and he'd work till Saturday. He worked in the field till Saturday at dinner. And he'd take off, he'd work out something around the place, and he'd have a shucking and shedding with corn for him. And then he'd take it to mill, you know. Mm-hmm. Steam mill, you know, and get it ground into mill. Of course, it had bran, it had sifted, but it made good bread. And molded meal then, it wasn't good what they bring on much. And it wasn't used much either. My mother grumbled at it every time she had to use it. Well, then I'll tell you about another bread that just made me think of it. Corn, between the roasting ear stage and being mature, dry, dry enough to shell, well, there was times, you know, when my father would be working in the field, and he wouldn't want to have time to go in there. Well, they'd bring home this corn, you know, that was past the roasting ear stage, but it wasn't dry enough to shell, and maybe he sometimes would run out of dry corn in the crib. Well, she'd take that, and she had a homemade grater. It was a piece of plank and a bucket that had been the bottom lashed out of it. And nail holes put nail on this board, and she'd take that and grate the corn and make the best bread, grated bread. Some people call it gritty, you know, gritty towards the end, gravy. Mm-hmm. And I have a recipe in that old black book, back scrapbook, that, well, it came from the progressive farmer, but it's similar, just about like the one my mother used. And I never made any grated bread but once or twice, if I remember right. See, they got to bring it on boulder meal, you know, in sacks. And that's interesting.
I never heard of that grated bread.
Uh-huh. Well, it belonged in the South. Uh-huh. I guess, typically. I imagine it does. Mm-hmm.
And, that's interesting.
Of course, it could be used. It could have been used. Now, it could have, so far as I know, it could have been used in other sections of the country. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like, you know, from what little I get, you know, about it, that it was used in the South.
And a smaller barrel that, say, nails might be kept in, real small. The 196 pounds of flour would be a pretty good size barrel.
Well, the other was kegs.
Just for nails.
We called it kegs. Well, we didn't get flour in kegs, so we got it either in barrels or in sacks.
I see.
And the coffee now, speaking about the green grain coffee yesterday, well now sometimes you could get what they call Arbuckle's coffee, brought in a package that's already ground, you know. Well, I like that lots better than I did the other. Mm-hmm. And of course now, we have percolated coffee and instant coffee too. Mm-hmm. I've used the instant coffee.
How about different kinds of sacks and bags that you might find in the store?
Well, now they were short on paper sacks. And why was it? Now, was it because there weren't enough manufactured, or was it just a problem of transportation there, or was it some of both at Dunbar's store? Because I can remember, I know the transportation was roundabout. It'd be shipped, some things would be shipped by boat to Swallow Bluff, and then the merchant would either have to hire somebody to take a wagon and go haul it out for him, or the tie haulers sometimes, you know. They had a warehouse there, you know, where it would be stored and locked up. Of course, then we could go to the store and we could buy a quarter's worth of coffee, a quarter's worth of sugar, or salt, or in a smaller amount even, or larger. And they put it in a paper sack and weighed, you know, had a little scale, balance, as they call it.